Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to A Sound Heart. We all experience grief. Grief is common in the human experience. And so, when it comes to defining grief, as some have attempted to do, we find that the definitions do not meet the reality. Yes, grief may be defined as a poignant sense of loss to the mind and heart, but grief is much more than the definition of grief. Grief is existential, grief is in the first person, and then there are others within our periphery who can experience our sense of grief, but not our grief. And try as they may, it is difficult for them to enter into the arena of our pain without our memories of the one who has been lost to us. And so the only one who can enter into that sacred space with us at that time is the living God. It is very important to understand God does not allow us to bear our grief outside of his love. He bears our grief with us. So I'm going to read you this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 1, and this is the account of Hannah, who was grieving over the fact that she could not have a child. God would bless her, his strategic time, but Hannah suffered for a long time before she saw the blessing in her life as she wanted of God. Her name means grace. This is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man from Amathaim of Ziphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Ziph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. The name Peninnah means jewel. Her name means jewel. Year after year, verse 3, this man went up to his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh. For Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted. Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant to give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. That is, he would be a Nazarite. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. He said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. This is Eli's preemptive diagnosis. He knows nothing of the situation. This is assumption. So he judges her instead of seeking to try to understand what is going on. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. This is her turning point. She took her grief. She took her sense of loss to the Lord. And she prays about her situation. And what is really interesting about Hannah is that in her particular case and with her grief, through prayer, she reached a turning point. And she said in verse 18, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. And so what we see here in this particular case is the power of prayer changing a mental attitude. And so prayer set her free from herself. And she was able to realize something marvelous. Through prayer, she learned giving her situation to God was the most important thing to do. Giving her situation over to God, letting God have her situation, giving to God her sense of loss. And so the power of prayer changed her attitude, and the power of prayer set her free emotionally. Hannah had come to the point in her life where she was willing to own her grief. Now notice the taunting she received from Penina, according to verse 7, went on year after year in order to do spiritual harm to Hannah. Notice in verse 10, in bitterness of soul, she prayed to the Lord. And in her grief, grief had created a sense of bitterness of soul in her life. Now, this is a particular case study, and I'm not giving a universal application for this situation. We're studying about Hannah's grief and Hannah's solution. So she prayed to God. And after this prayer time with God, we read in verse 19, early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So she was able now to respond to her husband because prayer had changed her. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changes people, things, and circumstances. Through her spiritual struggle, through her grief, she learned something new about herself. She learned something new about God. And so, she was able to leave her burden with God, and she was able to go and worship. And then she was able to respond sexually to her husband. A very powerful change took place in her life. And so you read that in verse 20, so in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Very beautiful. If you get a moment, please read 1 Corinthians 10:13, 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 8, and Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. This prayer prescription for grief, lust, Hannah's heart. In verse 18, we read, then she went her way and ate something, and her face is no longer cast down. In the Greek, it reads this way, and her face was the same face no more to her. And her face was the same face no more. God blessed her heart. God delivered her from her grief. And she received a great blessing from God. Now, this prayer prescription is for all of us. Now, this is the universal application. Take allow God to share that grief with you, that load, that sense of loss, that sense of uncertainty, so that you will not be set adrift emotionally. And God will become the anchor of your soul in your time of grief. He will walk with you through the process of grief. Will support you through your process of grief as he embraces you in his love. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.